4. My father said I was good at nursing because I didn't panic. Mama and Henrietta could sweep the floors of my father's practice and roll bandages and take medicine to those who couldn't get to town, but neither of them could help my father in the surgery like I could. I think it surprised him when I didn't head to nursing school the moment I finished high school. I was in no hurry to learn officially what I already knew unofficially. I stayed at my father's practice, working by his side, pondering what I might do with my life as my closest childhood friends married or went away to teacher's college. I wanted to be in the city. Marriage to a Pennsylvanian farmer wouldn't take me there, and teacher's college held no attraction for me. There was comfort in knowing it would be easy to find work as a nurse in Manhattan, and there was no other employment that called to me, despite my affection for color. I didn't paint, and I didn't arrange flowers, and needlepoint and sewing bored me. The world was an immense, vibrant place. I knew this was true, despite my sole experience with the quiet country life. I wanted to see it in all its colorful vitality. New York was the place to be. When I thought about what was taken from me, this secondary loss came to mind. The fire robbed me of a future with Edward in it. I am sure of that. But it also stole from me my affinity for the wild and wonderful. The hospital was busy, but it was not wild or wonderful. It was a steady place, with its hum of 10,000 words that were unknown to me. Despite the hammer of illness, it was a very tame place. I saw only what I had lost when I slept at night. I didn't see it on that calm slab of earth surrounded by water. As I walked away from Ward K with Andrew Gwynn's trunk keys and claim ticket in my apron pocket, I was glad I'd already been requested by Mrs. Crowley to see that we had more interpreters. It gave me a bona fide reason to go to the main island, though I doubted more interpreters would be spared. If Ellis was as busy as we'd been led to believe at breakfast, all the interpreters would be needed in the Great Hall. More of the infirm and the suspect were heading across to the hospital as I walked through the ferry house to the main immigration building. Several of them made eye contact with me, silently questioning me, it seemed, to explain how the medical inspectors could so adamantly insist they weren't well.